"'Exactly. Straight over and legs in the air. "'We're having bread and cheese,' she added. "'I ain't doing big cooking twice in one day, "'and we're having chicken tonight. "'Talking of chicken, in fact... "'Come on.' "'She took a cleaver off the rack and went out into the yard. "'Cyril the cockerel eyed her suspiciously from the top of the midden. "'His harem of fat and rather elderly hens, "'who had been scratching up the dust, "'bounded unsteadily towards Miss Flitworth "'in the broken knicker-elastic run of hens everywhere.' She reached down quickly and picked one up. It regarded Bill Dawe with bright, stupid eyes. "'Do you know how to pluck a chicken?' said Miss Flitworth. Bill looked from her to the hen. "'But we feed them,' he said helplessly.
"'That's right, and then they feed us. This one's been off lay for months. That's how it goes in the chicken world. Mr. Flitworth used to wring their necks, but I never got the knack of that.' The cleaver's messy, and they run around a bit afterwards, but they're dead all right, and they know it.
Bill Dawe considered his options. The chicken had focused one beady eye on him. Chickens are a lot more stupid than humans, and don't have the sophisticated mental filters that prevent them seeing what is truly there. It knew where it was, and who it was looking at. He looked into its small and simple life, and saw the last few seconds pouring away. He'd never killed. He'd taken life, but only when it was finished with. There was a difference between theft and stealing by finding.
"'Not the cleaver,' he said wearily. "'Give me the chicken.'
He turned his back for a moment, then handed the limp body to Miss Flitworth.
"'Well done,' she said, and went back to the kitchen.
Bill Dawe felt Cyril's accusing gaze on him. He opened his hand. A tiny spot of light hovered over his palm. He blew on it gently, and it faded away. After lunch, they put down the rat poison. He felt like a murderer. A lot of rats died. Down in the runs under the barn, in the deepest one, one tunnelled long ago by long-forgotten ancestral rodents, something appeared in the darkness. It seemed to have difficulty deciding what shape it was going to be. It began as a lump of highly suspicious cheese. This didn't seem to work. Then it tried something that looked very much like a small, hungry terrier. This was also rejected. For a moment, it was a steel-jawed trap. This was clearly unsuitable. It cast around for fresh ideas, and much to its surprise, one arrived smoothly, as if travelling from no distance at all, not so much a shape as a memory of a shape. It tried and found that, while totally wrong for the job, in some deeply satisfying way, it was the only shape it could possibly be. It went to work. That evening, the men were practising archery on the green. Bill Dawe had carefully ensured a local reputation as the worst bowman in the entire history of toxophily. It had never occurred to anyone that putting arrows through the hats of bystanders behind him must logically take a lot more skill than merely sending them through a quite large target a mere 50 yards away. It was amazing how many friends you could make by being bad at things, provided you were bad enough to be funny. So he was allowed to sit on a bench outside the inn with the old men. Next door, sparks poured from the chimney of the village smithy and spiralled up into the dusk. There was a ferocious hammering from behind its closed doors. Bill Dawe wondered why the smithy was always shut. Most smiths worked with the doors open, so that their forge became an unofficial village meeting room. This one was keen on his work.
"Hello, Skellington,"
he swivelled round. The small child of the house was watching him with the most penetrating gaze he'd ever seen.
"You are a Skellington, aren't you?" she said. "I can tell because of the bones."
"You are mistaken, small child."
"You are. People turn into Skellingtons when they're dead. They're not supposed to walk around afterwards."
"Ha, ha, ha. Will you hark at the child?"
"Why are you walking around then?"
Bill Dawe looked at the old men. They appeared engrossed in the sport.
"I'll tell you what," he said desperately. "If you will go away, I will give you a half penny."
"I've got a Skellington mask for when we go trick-or-treating on Soul Cake Night," she said. "It's made of paper. You get given sweets."
Bill Dawe made the mistake millions of people had tried before with small children in slightly similar circumstances. He resorted to reason.
"Look," he said, "if I was really a skeleton, little girl, I'm sure these old gentlemen here would have something to say about it."
She regarded the old man at the other end of the bench.
"They're nearly Skellingtons anyway," she said. "I shouldn't think they'd want to see another one."
He gave in.
"I have to admit that you are right on that point,"